today, 1 year ago, we were having a service here in this building, and everyone that was involved in the actual service was walking around like zombies, I think, because none of us had really slept a whole lot. The reason for that is because today, a year ago, was the very first service that we have had ever had in this building. Today is actually our 1 year anniversary in the building, which is pretty awesome. I mean, it is pretty awesome. And I remember back then, like I'm talking about 20 years ago, there were a few of us that were kind of part of the church at that time, certainly not nearly as many as this. And we came here the week before because we purchased this building from another church, and they used the building. Although we bought it in March, they continued to use it until the last weekend in May. And then that's that Monday we came into the building, and our first service was that Sunday, and we had 7 days. And the building looked totally different than it looks now. None of the children's rooms looked like they look now. The lobby didn't look anything like it looks now. And we had 7 days, six in fact, to prepare this place for our opening Sunday. And that was a wild, wild week. And the people that were involved in that, if you ask them now, you still see that gleam in their eyes like, man, that was horrible and awesome and horrible and awesome. Because it just, our kids slept in corners all over the church. We stayed here 24 hours a day and just painted and worked and did all that. And I want to just give you a small glimpse into that week. I want you to take a look at this slideshow. It starts off with the way the building looked before we got it, and then you can kind of see a picture of the week we went into that last week this year. Take a look.
Skies, everything breathing, praising God in the company of all who love the King. I will dance, I will sing, it could be heavenly. Turn the music loud, lift my voice and shout. There I am, there I've been.
As you can tell, yeah, it was a lot of work, no doubt. Back then, we had plenty of room in our children's rooms and plenty of room in here, and now we're kind of trying to figure out how to get around that. But you know, it was really interesting because as we started this journey a year ago and we find ourselves here now, today, I want to kind of take a jump, not looking back, but looking ahead, because there's so much waiting for us around this corner. And in order to do that, I just want to warn you real quick. You know we're traveling from Genesis to Revelation, chronologically through the Bible, and we are currently in the middle of Numbers, right? Well, today we're going to take a little bit of a jump. Don't get all weirded out. It's okay, because we're going to come back. You know, in the world we live in the DVD CD world. My kids, I don't remember the last time I watched a kid's movie from beginning to end, because it doesn't happen in our world anymore. You remember when we used to have those VHS tape things? Where you put them in, and you either rewound it from the end to the beginning, or you watched it from the beginning to the end. There was no finding scenes and all this stuff. My kids function in a world where they go like this. Dad, can we watch The Grinch scene 14 starting in about the middle? So there's a lot of movies in my house where I've seen scene 14, 15, and 16 19 times, and scene 28 and 29, but I've never seen anything in between. In the car, it's the same way. I stick a CD in. And my kids go, we'd like the CD number 7, and we want it on. We want you to start on 14. I'm like, well, who are you people? You put a thing in, it starts from the beginning. So because we live in this world of DVDs and CDs, I feel pretty comfortable this morning that you all should be able to jump with me ahead so that we can jump back again next week and go back into Numbers. Because we're going to kind of jump ahead into the book of Joshua this morning, and we're going to start there. How many of you have ever read a book and you read the last page first? Raise your hands. There's biblical precedent against that. You know that, right? Okay, so you know, sometimes we just do that, and that's kind of what's going to happen today. We're going to jump a little ahead, then we're going to jump back again, and then we're going to travel through, and we're going to find ourselves back in Joshua in a few weeks. Now, the reason we're doing that is because this particular passage really applies so much to where we are today and where we're going. So I want you kind of to pay attention with me. But before we turn there, I see many of you already doing that, and that's great. Would you pray with me, please? God, thank you so much for this day. May the eyes of our hearts be open now, and may you speak to the depths of our soul. God, may your voice go out boldly, and everything that is said here today that is of you, may it change us, shape us, mold us, and draw us into intimacy with you and lead us into a life worthy of the gospel. And God, what is not of you, may you destroy it before it even leaves my lips. God, I thank you so much for your word and its power and all that it's doing in our lives. And God, we long for the freedom and the life that exists as we obey you and follow you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can turn to Joshua chapter 1. We're going to go straight to Joshua chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, there are Bibles under our chairs because we're going to be in the Bible, so you may as well grab one. And if you don't have a good Bible at home, please keep one of ours. We'd love for you to have it. Just take it home with you and make it your own. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 1, which is on page 148 of our Bibles. In your Bibles, good luck. You can find it yourself. Okay, so here's the deal, right? Before we jump into the passage, let me give you a little piece of context here to kind of give you an idea of what God is up to here. About a month and a half ago, I took my 7-year-old daughter, and we decided I was going to take her on her first roller coaster ride, like real big roller coaster, because she's tall enough now to get on those things. And you know, as parents, when you're preparing to take a small child onto something like a roller coaster ride, you just know ahead of time that it's a balance between when they're ready and when they're not. Because if they're ready, they're going to go on this ride, they're going to be scared, then they're going to come off and go, yes! And if they're not ready, they're going to go on a ride. And when they're 27, you're still going to be going, honey, you were 7. Please try it one more time. Never! Never! You know? So you just know there's that balance you're going to have to find. And so with Hadley, I figured, God, we're here. I think we're ready for this balance. This is great. So, you know, we're at MGM, and I decide the rock and roller coaster's right there. We'll do that one. That seems fine. See, you guys know. You should have told me. What is your problem? Okay, so we go to the rock and roller coaster, and for those of you that don't know about the rock and roller coaster, it was really fun because you get to sit in it, you know, and I've got the whole speech planned in my head for the clippity-clap up the thing. Honey, it's not that high, don't worry, and it's going to be fun, and we're going to go. Not the rock and roller coaster, no sorry, Bob, because the rock and roller coaster is one of those neat roller coasters where you pull into a spot, it's pitch black in front of you, these doors open, and it's just dark. And then you count 3, 2, 1, and the thing goes from 0 to 70 in like 0.1 second. Okay? So at the point I realize this is going to happen, it's too late. We're in, we're strapped, we're sitting, and I'm looking at Hadley, and I'm looking at the dark, and I'm looking at her face, looking at me, and I'm going, oh my gosh, in about 3 seconds, this thing's going to launch, and she is going to die. I will never take her on a roller coaster again. This was a mistake. And there we sit, and lo and behold, that thing launches off, and it takes off in a way that you can't even imagine. About halfway through the ride, this is exactly what we were experiencing. Take a look. That's my daughter right there. That's me. I can't even keep my eyes open at this point. I'm like, oh, my goodness. And Hadley, she's just staring because I want you to know, nobody mentioned this either. The entire ride is in the dark. So Hadley's eyes are open, but she sees nothing except darkness. So my child is traveling at 70 miles an hour there on an upside-down loop in the dark, and all she can think is, I'm going to sue this guy. I'm going to sue him. Okay? So that's the roller coaster ride. Now, here's the deal. I want you to know something. That at the moment that I was sitting with my daughter, before that thing entered into the darkness, I knew as a dad in that moment that I had about 7 seconds for that little speech that I had to give, that if I gave it right, she would survive the ride. And if I gave it wrong, she would come off this thing scarred for life. And it's that little speech, that little moment in time where you're sitting on the roller coaster, you feel the vibrations, and the little red light goes green and yellow, and you're like, oh my gosh, here we go. It's in that moment that we step into the story here with Joshua. That is the moment that's happening with Joshua right now, that God is stepping in and saying, Joshua, sit down, strap in, because here we go, baby. And that's exactly what we're going to walk into. So take your Bibles, jump into Joshua chapter 1, and let's take a look at what's happening. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, it says this: "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, 'Moses, my servant, is dead.'" I always wonder about that, don't you? Do you think Joshua went, "What? What? Moses died? No one told me." Obviously, that didn't happen because Joshua's right here, but the Lord starts off by saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead." Why? Because God wants to start right off the bat saying, that's over now. That entire world we were living in is over now, and now we're starting fresh and new. We've got something new on the horizon. He's dead. He was my servant, but now watch what happens. He says, "Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will be extended from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." Folks, listen, let me give you a context here for a second. Remember now, God started with humanity in the Garden of Eden. Humanity disobeyed God and left the Garden of Eden, left paradise. Then God, in the midst of a sinful world, comes out and picks a man and pulls him out from humanity and says, "Through you, Abraham, I'm going to bless this planet. I'm going to create a great nation, and I'm going to take that nation into a promised land, and you will live in my blessing." What an amazing promise he makes to a single man who doesn't have any way to know that that's going to come true. We then watch the story unfold, haven't we? Where Abraham has some kids, and then as his kids grow up, then Jacob has 12 kids, and his kids become the 12 tribes, and they go to Egypt. Remember this? Because Joseph went to Egypt, so they followed him. And when they got to Egypt, there were 70 of them. And in Egypt, the 70 of them grew into over 2 million, and they were slaves in Egypt as that progressed. And then God sends a man named Moses, and Moses comes down and says, God has sent me to lead you out of bondage and into the promised land. You remember then they led out of bondage through the 10 plagues and the parting of the Red Sea and these amazing miracles, the cloud of fire. And they walk into the desert, they get to the River Jordan, and God says, "Here we go, we're going to cross into the promised land." They send the 12 spies, and the spies come back and say, "No way, we ain't going in there. The walls are too big, the people are too big, and we're going to die." And God says, "You can trust me." And they go, "We ain't getting on this ride." And God says, "All right, if you don't want to get on the ride, we'll just spend some time in the desert." And for 40 years, they spend time in the desert as we watch an entire generation die. And a new generation emerges. And we are sitting at the moment here in Joshua where the old generation has now died, and everyone in this generation were either born in the desert or they were so young they don't even remember Egypt. Their entire context is the desert. And God comes to Joshua and says, "All right, it's time now. We're done with the desert. We're heading into the promised land." Can you imagine Joshua? Can you imagine what he must have felt when the God of the universe shows up and says to him, I got some news for you. I will be with you, and wherever you set your foot, there you will be, and there I will make that yours. No one will stand up against you for the rest of your entire life. He said it, until the end of your life, and I will walk with you all the way. So go, tell the people, we're crossing the river into the promised land. Can you imagine what God must have been feeling? Watch this, it goes on. God stops for a second, and in verse 6, he says this: "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to your forefathers to give them." Isn't it amazing what God does in our lives? He calls us to wonderful, beautiful, and amazing things, roller coaster rides like we can't begin to imagine, and then he stops for a second and says, "Now once you get on this thing, it's going to scare you to death, so be strong and courageous, because I will be with you. Don't be scared." Watch what he says. "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it." You paying attention? "Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. See what God is doing here? Remember, he's been spending all of his time with humanity teaching them this principle. If you do it my way, it leads to life and freedom. If you do it your way, it leads to bondage and destruction, right? Okay, so God's been teaching this. They're about to go in the promised land. There's going to be some amazing things to do here. And God reminds him, Joshua, just a quick reminder, I have given you my word through Moses. You pay close attention to it. You do exactly what it says. Do not move to the left or to the right. You know why? Because it is my word. And if I said it, then it means it is for your best. And so you pay attention to it and you do what it says, because if you do, it'll lead to life and freedom. So he reminds Joshua, before we step into all the blessing and we enjoy the promised land, you make sure you do it my way. And if you do it my way, we will walk into an extraordinary world you can't even imagine. See, this is God sitting down with Joshua before Joshua goes to the people and saying to Joshua, listen, come sit next to me here. Sit, Joshua. Yes, this is a roller coaster. And in about 3 seconds, this thing's going to take off into the darkness. And you're going to be upside down and then left way right and sideways down, and you won't know what's going on. But I want to promise you something, that as long as you hold my hand and you trust that I'm the one that put this roller coaster together, that every day I check it and every day I make sure the bolts on it work, and you'll be totally safe, you're going to be fine. See, that's what I said to Hadley. I looked at Hadley and I said, honey, don't worry. People check this roller coaster every day, and as much as it feels like you're going to die, you won't. Because, are you ready? Daddy has been on these roller coasters before, and I'm still breathing, and they are here for our entertainment. They're here for fun, although they're scary. You just hold my hand, and as long as I'm here, you'll be fine. Because I figured that was true, because if I fly out of the roller coaster, she's not fine anymore. So as long as my hand is right there, we're in great shape. And I'm holding her hand and we're going on this roller coaster. And see, God is looking at Joshua right now saying, Joshua, we're going into that same land now that we talked about earlier where the big walls are and the big giants are. But don't you worry, because you've learned now after 40 years in the desert, you do it my way and I will lead you into victory. I will lead you into blessing. And so Joshua does exactly what any leader should do when God is at that point in the nation's life. In verse 10, so Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, we will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. What an amazing time that is. Joshua, go guys, go tell everyone, pack your bags, put your backpacks on, pick up your swords and your shields. We're crossing the Jordan. And there's no stopping us now. Did you notice? His sentence was not, and we'll cross the Jordan and we'll wait on God to see what he does. He said, we will cross the Jordan and we will take possession of this land. Because you remember Joshua was one of the 12 spies that came back and said, we can do this. Can you imagine for 40 years you've been waiting? God, come on, come on, come on. And now God finally says, Josh, it's time to go. And he goes, oh man, tell the people, pack their bags, 3 days, we're out of here. Not 3 years, not 3 months, not 3 decades. 3 days. It's like 3 seconds on a roller coaster. Honey, hold my hand. 3, 2, 1. And watch. Then Joshua gets together with some of these guys. You see, on their way through in Deuteronomy, we'll find out as we go back in the story that there were some tribes that Moses said, God is giving you this land on the east side of the Jordan, and it's yours. And now Joshua comes to them and he says, but to the Reubenites, the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you? The Lord your God is giving you rest and has granted you this land. So that's still the commandment. Your wives, your children, your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you to rest east of the Jordan. But all your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers until the Lord gives them rest too, as he has done for you. And until that, they have taken possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan toward the sunrise. See what's happening? Joshua collects all the guys, all the families that God has already said, you can have this land. They're already in their rest. And he says to them, listen, come here, come here. We can't. can't do this alone. We can't go in there alone. God needs all of us together, unified, to get into this land and to take these walls and to take these stuff. And we're going to go together. And you're going to be part of this. And as you're part of this, once we're done, then you can rest along with us. It's beautiful. And you know what the people say? You guys are already guessing it because we were in Numbers, right? But I don't want to go. Not this time. See, this is the first time you see a tremendous change in the hearts of the people. Because this generation, remember, these are the kids that weren't there when all the complaining took place. Remember that? These are the kids that have grown up in the desert with their parents doing this. Now, honey, listen. When God tells you to do something, you don't blink, you do it. Because we didn't, and that's why we're in this desert. See, they're the generation that grew up with their parents going, you do not want to do it our way. Because we already tested God. And when you do it God's way, it leads to life and freedom, a life and freedom we can't even experience fully, but you can. So this is a generation that the parents have built into their kids. You trust Moses because he's God's servant, and you trust God to lead Moses. How do we know? Watch this. Powerful, powerful verse, verse 16. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us to do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as fully as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. See, they were smart, these guys. They finally grew up. They finally said, listen, Joshua, we've learned. When Moses said go, we went. We didn't ask questions. We didn't say the walls are big, the giants are big. We just went and we fought because God was with him. And we will do the same for you just as long as we pray God be with you as he was with Moses. Because who do we trust in? Joshua? No. Moses? No. We trust in God, that God picked Moses and he picked Joshua to lead. And so the people stepped up and they said, we're with you. We'll do whatever it takes. We'll pick up our shields and our swords and we'll go because we know what's waiting for us on the other side. It's rest and it's promise and it's beauty. See, God has this tremendous way about him in Scripture, in the New Testament and the Old Testament. And it's something that's happening right here. See, when God functions with us, this is how he tends to function. He comes to us, and we're still living in our ignorance and our disobedience and our sinful lives, and we're doing our thing, and we're doing it our way. And God shows up in our lives, and he says, listen, I know you're all stuck and all that, but I'm going to hand you on a platter your freedom. I'm going to draw you out of bondage, and I'm going to bring you to a place where you are free in me. While you are still basically haters of mine, I will provide for you. How do we know? Look at the desert, right? The people come out of Egypt. How did they get out of Egypt? Did they do anything? They didn't do anything. They just stood there and watched the 10 plagues happen. Then God said, go, quick, out into the desert. And they went, okay, and they started shuffling out in the desert. Then they got out there and they were like, God, we're thirsty. And God went to Moses, tap the rock. Water came out. God, we're hungry. Here's some food for you from the sky, miraculously, manna. See, what God was doing in the desert constantly was, you guys just sit there. And I'll just keep giving you what you want. Just keep providing for you. Because I'm in the process of showing you that I love you whether you love me or not. That I'm with you whether you are with me or not. But there comes a time where once you've been with me, that I go, okay, now that you trust me, now we can really start playing this game. See, because God has extraordinary things for our lives. Extraordinary miracles. Extraordinary wonders that he wants to do through us. He wants marriages in this church to be so strong that people look in our church and go, are you kidding me? How do you do that? He wants us to be raising our kids in such a manner that people go, are you kidding me? How do you do that? He wants us to live a life when we're at our workplace and circumstances are falling apart. We're like a rock, content and ready. And people go, how do you do that? That's amazing. He wants us to live lives here in such community and such strength that people walk in our doors and go, you want to be loved? You want to be loved? You walk in there, man. They'll love you. And you want to see people love each other? Oh. God wants to see this community around us change dramatically because we are here. And all of that is waiting. It's right there. He's going, guys, I didn't bring you here for nothing. We got some serious fun to have, some serious work to do. But there comes a time where I've handed and handed and handed, and then there's a time where I say, okay, let's do this. And in Joshua's world, that's exactly what's happening. You see, now he's telling the people, listen, we've been handing you stuff all day long in the desert, but now what I want you guys to do is I want you to step into the Jordan River. I want you to cross that puppy. I want you to walk right up to the walls of Jericho. I want you to pull your swords out and your shields out and say, all right, we're ready. We're ready for a fight. And I want you to know the whole time that despite the fact that you're on the battlefield now instead of sitting on the sidelines, I'm still with you and we're still going to see miracles. And we know that because you know what happened to the Jordan River when the priest stepped into it with the ark? They step into it and a wall, an invisible wall shows up and the water stops and just starts building up like a dam. Read it. It's there. We'll get to it in the next when we get back to Joshua. And the people cross over dry land. And you know what happens next? They get to Jericho, the most fortified city on the planet. The kind of city where the guys built the wall, and when they were done building the wall, they sat back and they said, oh man, we're going to live here forever because nobody's ever going to get over this wall. And when they try, we'll shoot them with our bows and arrows. Little did they know that the God of Israel had a different plan. You know what God said? The people come out there with the swords and the shields, and God says, here's what I want you to do. March around the wall a few times, 7 times 25 is 16 and 45, blow your trumpets and shout and scream and do this, and when you're done, the walls will come down. You know what Joshua did? Instead of like all the other people in the desert, what? What? Joshua said, okay, sounds good, let's do it. And they started walking around the wall, and guess what happened? When the walls came down, you know an architect was fired somewhere. You know it. You know the king of Jericho called an architect and said, are you insane? This was supposed to hold up against like rockets and bullets. These people march around, blow their trumpets, and the whole thing falls apart. What's your problem? And then that's when the story began, isn't it? That's when the people in the land started going, oh no, the Hebrews are here. Run! You know why? Because they serve the God of Israel. And that's what we want. We want to live in a world where it is said of our church, oh no, Mosaic is here, run, because your life's about to change. Your marriage is about to get strong. You're about to raise your kids well. You're about to give yourself away for the sake of the gospel. Oh, man, that's not good. And then they discover that the freedom in that is extraordinary, right? But here's the deal. You get to that place in life where you know God is saying, I've handed and handed, and now it's time. You know, in our life, it's been an extraordinary ride these last few years. When we first came here, my wife and I showed up, and we didn't have a whole lot to start with. So we started this little church, and back then it was called Ocean Church. It was a cult. And I'm just kidding, it wasn't a cult. But many, many people thought it was because who would call a church Ocean Church? We figured that out because we were from California and we thought Ocean Church was really cool because it was metaphorical and all that. Didn't work so well on the East Coast. So we prayed and said, Lord, we don't want to be a cult and we really want to follow you. And so we prayed about a new name and God gave us Mosaic. And then we took Mosaic Church and we've met in so many places. Not even funny. I mean, we, at one point we were meeting in an aerobics room. When you were worshiping, you'd go, Lord, look, it's me. Hey, it's me again. Hey, it's me there, right there. I'm everywhere. It was hard to worship. And we've worshiped in warehouses. We've been kicked out of warehouses. We've worshiped in other people's churches on Sunday nights whenever they could fit us in. And we've been all over the place. And you know, the whole time as we've been on this journey, every time we had need, every time our ministry started growing and we needed someone to run the children's ministry, God would provide for us miraculously financially so we could hire a children's director and then a student ministries guy and then an operation. All the staff we have, all of it's been handed to us. And then not too long ago, just about a year and 3 months ago, we were in a warehouse on 27 that was falling apart and the city was telling us, we'll never let you have it because we were trying to renovate it. And I went to some pastor in town, actually it was Pastor Rick, and I sat with him and I said, hey, man, what do? These people are evil and they want me to bolt my chairs down. And he said, good luck. They're evil and they'll make you bolt their chairs down. And so he said, but you know what? There's this building that I think is going to come up for sale. You should go and look at it. And I'm thinking to myself, maybe you're confused. I have 35 people in our church. And I don't know any of them that are multimillionaires. And even if they were, I don't know any of them that would say, Reno, here's my multi-millions of dollars to buy a new building for you. But you know what I said in the office? I said, all right, no, that sounds good. Let's go look at the building. So we drive over to this building. We walk into those doors. And I look around and I said to God, you know, God, if we had something like this, I bet we could do some great work in the community. I bet we could change some lives. I bet we could see people's lives dramatically change. I bet this could facilitate some extraordinary, miraculous stuff. So a few years from now, it'd be nice to have something like this. And God translated that into 24 days. I don't know why and how. I'll still find out when I die. But 24 days later, we closed on this building, putting $1 million down. And the rest of the money, we sold a piece of land that God had miraculously given us. And then we put that into it. And before you knew it, this building was practically paid off. $2 million practically paid off. And you know what? Listen. You know what God did? Not one of us here did God show up and say, it's time for all of you to do this together. God just said, hey, don't worry, tap the rock, water will come. Don't worry. I'll send you food when you need it. And you know, as a leader and a pastor of this church, as the one that carries the weight and responsibility of making sure that I am not moving to the left or the right from God's command so that I could lead you guys well and lead you across the Jordan River, it came this moment just a few weeks ago, as we were approaching the one-year anniversary, where God said, all right, Renaud, it's time now. We're going to cross the Jordan River, and we're going to go. And I said, well, didn't we do that a year ago? And God said, oh, no. That was just the water out of the rock, and it was the manna from the sky, and it was my big fire of pillar, and you thought that was all miraculous and cool, but it was, but it's not the promised land. See, I have dreams for you guys. I brought you to this community as a church to change everything. I brought you here to strengthen people, to draw them into intimacy with me, to show them my word and my freedom so that they could know me and live by my ways. And to do that, we need a lot of other things. So, it's time. You call the people, you tell them, get together, pack your bags, put your backpacks on, lift your swords and shields, because it's time for us. But listen, we can't do this by ourselves, not anymore. It's time now for us as a church to step up. See, here's the deal. In this beautiful passage, God is speaking not only to us as a church, but to us individually. God is speaking to the whole gamut. See, if you're here today and you are a Christ follower, you know Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of your life, you've received him by faith and his sacrifice for your sins, and you've said, God, I don't understand how everything works, but I buy into the fact that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody gets to the Father except through me, and I'm going to follow you. If that's you here today, if you're sitting here and you say, yes, I know that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, I know who he is, and I have a relationship with him, I've got some news for you that God wants to speak into your life. Turn with me to Romans, would you? All of you, turn to Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, there's an extraordinary passage here that does exactly what's happened in the Old Testament. Desert, I'll take care of you. Now that I've taken care of you and you trust me, watch what I'm going to do. And watch what he says. He says in verse 6 of chapter 5, you see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly, the wicked. Now, who are the wicked? It's all those people out there in Claremont, right? In Winter Garden. No, it's us. We are the wicked. We're the ones that God came and said, you wicked people. And look what he says, though. He says, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now you think that's the end of it? No, that's just the beginning. You see, that is Joshua at the Jordan River and God saying, oh, you think this desert was, these were a disobedient, whiny people, and what did I do with them while they were in the desert? I took care of them. I loved them. I was miraculous with them. What do you think I'm going to do now that the people trust me? You see the dynamic here? The people don't trust me, and I give them water and food and take care of them in the desert. Now that the people trust me, I'm going to do amazing things through them. Watch, he says it right here in Romans, verse 9. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? You see, for if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Folks, if you're here and you're a Christ follower, I got news for you. When you walk out of those doors this week, whatever comes your way, whatever circumstance you face, however impossible it may seem, put your head up, raise your shoulders, and say, I follow Christ. And if he died for me while I was still a sinner, how much more is he not going to do whatever it takes to make my life the life he wants it to be now? Because now I'm his child. See, as a dad, I know how that feels. I look at my children and I go, when they're disobeying me, I provide for them. But when they're with me, I just want to take them out for ice cream. Because there's that part of you that goes, now that I'm done with the disobedience and I've got an obedient people on my hands, now we can start playing. Now we can start changing the world. And God is telling you as a Christ follower today, don't you go out there discouraged. Don't you go out there worried. Don't you get out there and start fussing about with the circumstances. You remember this. You remember this. If I was willing to die for you when you hated me, now that you love me, don't you trust that every word I've given you is for your benefit and for your good and for your righteousness and for your holiness? So don't ignore me. Don't doubt me. Don't worry about stuff. Because now that you're with me, I will do more for you than I ever did when you weren't with me. And what I did for you then was die. So where does this go? For those of you sitting here and you're not Christ followers yet, you're sitting here and you're seeking this thing out, thanks for being here. I hope you hang around for a while and try to figure this all out, because the freedom that you can find in Christ is extraordinary. But let me tell you something, God has something for you today. In this same little passage, God is whispering to you, hey, if you want to live a life extraordinary, a life of peace, a life of contentment, a life of wonder, a life full of struggle and difficulty, full of ups and downs, full of roundabouts, but in the midst of all those circumstances, solid and safe. If you want to sit down on this roller coaster called life and grab my hand, it's real simple. You just trust by faith, despite the fact that you don't know all the answers yet, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you trust that I died for you and for your sins. And if you do that, once you're reconciled with me, oh man, fasten your seatbelts, because I will show you things so great and unsearchable that you couldn't possibly know them. And you will experience a life you've never had. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, may I challenge you, dig deep and dig fast, because the freedom that you're missing out on in Christ is extraordinary. And I don't want you to miss out another day. If you're here and you go, I want to know more about that, find someone, come to me and say, I'm interested, please tell me about it. Now, as a church, and this is where I close, God has a word for us as well. See, what God has laid on my heart as the pastor here is that we are at a point in this wonderful journey he's had us on where this next year he's going to do extraordinary things. We're going to see more life change and more wonder and more things in this church than we've ever dreamed of seeing. But God is also laying on my heart now that it is time for us to pack our bags, to get our backpacks on, to pick up our swords and shields and to say, I'm in, I'm in. God is done giving us water and manna from the sky, and he'll continue to provide for us, because believe me, when we're walking around the walls of Jericho together, it's still going to be fun to watch them fall. But here's the deal. At certain point in this journey, God has now said to us, church, it's time for you to be involved. See, up to now, we've kind of been sitting on the sidelines watching, experiencing the benefits of God's miraculous power. And now God's saying, okay, I'm going to continue to do that, but it's your turn to get involved now with it. So that instead of just sitting and going, whoa, the water out of the rock's really cool, you can go, man, was that not cool when we were marching around the wall and we were sweating and we were tired and we gave us, and then amazing. See the difference? One, you just get to watch and experience. One, you get to share in. And sharing in it is where it all gets really crazy. So I'm here to tell you this. It is time, church, for all of us to once and for all say, okay, this next year, I want in on this adventure. I want in on this roller coaster. I can see it in my mind's eye. An entire roller coaster, all of us on it. I'm sitting in the front with Hadley holding her hand. And I'm looking, hey, church, what's going on? And you're all going, it's dark. And the thing's vibrating. And I said, I told you guys this was going to be a wild ride. But it's okay. Because although we're going to shoot out of this thing so fast, we're not going to know what hit us. And we're going to spin around in circles. And we're going to do things that are going to make no sense whatsoever to the rest of the world. But God's going to say, I want you to do this. Despite all of that, when we're done with this roller coaster ride at the end of this year, I want every one of you here that's part of this church to stand up and say, whoa, let's do it again, because that's what roller coasters are meant to be. Let's do it again. That was amazing. This last year has been a wild ride, folks, but you have no idea what's about to come, because here's the deal. If we, as a church, step up now and say, God, my time, my energy, my resources, my finances, everything I have is yours. It's at your disposal for this family so we can walk into the promised land and cross the Jordan. When we set our hearts in that place, what do you think God's going to do with that? You begin to imagine it, and it'll be bigger and crazier than your imagination. Because he says that, remember? I will do immeasurably more than all you can ask for or imagine. So here we sit as a church, and once now I say, if you're part of this family, then this is your time to say, I surrender myself to sweat and bleed and pay and do whatever it takes for this family to walk into that extraordinary world where lives are changing and people are coming into intimacy with Christ and marriages are building strong and kids are growing up wise and whoa, it's amazing. And we're going to walk into that. As a church, we are going to obey God and we're going to stick to his word. We're not going to move to the left. We're not going to move to the right. We're going to stick straight down the line. As a staff, we've been praying and asking God, what is it you're going to have us do as a church? Not just this year, but for the years to come. What's it going to be? And God gave us six specific things that he said, you do these things, and I will lead you through so many Jerichos, you won't know what hit you. So many walls will come down in people's lives, you won't even know where it began. These are the six things we commit to as a church that you are going to experience if you're part of this family. Here they are. Take a look. The accurate proclamation and application of God's word. I promise you as a pastor, I will work myself to the bone to make sure that I'm accurately proclaiming this word into your lives so that you can live by it and experience the freedom that comes with it. We promise that we are going to be a church that accurately, that has the practice of prayer. You go ahead, that's good. The practice of prayer. God tells us that if we come to him and we pray to him as his people, that he will give us the land. And we're going to go and we're going to do that. We're also going to go and have fervent Christ-honoring worship here. Every worship service we do, if Christ showed up right here and stood right here, I promise you it will be our goal every Sunday to say, God, you would be honored if you were here with us. You would be honored to be worshiped here. And then we promise also that we are going to spend this year creating intentional biblical community. This church has grown so fast, our heads are spinning. And some of you sit here and you go, I don't feel like I'm part of community. I know, and I'm sorry. Believe me, we will work as hard as we can this year to make sure every one of you sitting here feels like you're part of an intentional biblical community here that shares our stuff with one another and shares the load together. Then we will make sure that we have consistent discipleship. I promise you, if you're part of this church, we will teach you God's word so well in the next 10 years, you're going to be walking around going, this is amazing. And then finally, we will be a church that has extraordinary service. We will change this world that's out there, one person at a time. This obedience will lead us into a place of extraordinary, miraculous wonder. But you guys have to be part of it now. You guys have to step up and you guys have to say, my time, my energy, my resources, they are now available to the God of the universe to make this all happen. Because it's time. Our children's ministry is overrun. I need to bring staff on board there. Our student ministries are overrun. We need to bring some stuff on board there. Stu's running our operations, and he's a volunteer, and he's about this deep under all the stuff because he's here 2 days a week instead of five. I mean, there's things going on left and right that we can't even keep our hands on anymore. And it's time for us to step up and say, we will help make all that happen. So church, that's the call to you. That's the call to me. We're on the Jordan River. Pack your bags. Put your backpacks on, pick up your swords and shields, because we're going to go into this land and we're going to conquer. And Jericho's going to come down, and anything that stands in our way that is not of God, we will walk straight over it and people's lives will change. And you can be a part of that process. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you so much for your word, for this story in Joshua. In the first chapter where you looked at Joshua and you said, now you be strong and courageous. You go. Because God, we are ready. We are ready. And we want to honor you and we want to live for you and we want to give ourselves away for you. We want to sweat blood for you, God. Because you are our Lord and Savior. In the quiet of this place right now with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, I don't want anyone looking around. We don't often do this at Mosaic, but I want to do it today. I want to ask you two questions. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you've been here for a while now, you've been checking things out, and today God just spoke to your heart and said, listen, it's time. It's time to take a step of faith and to say, yes, Lord, you are the way, the truth, and the life. I want to follow you. If that's you here today and you just want to talk with someone or you just want to let us know you've done that, I don't want you to get up, but I want you to come forward. I just want you to slip your hand up for a second. I want you to look up and look at me so I can be praying for you and so that I can see you and talk with you. If you're here today just saying, I want to give my life to Christ, this is time. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You guys that did that, ladies, please, if you afterwards, come and grab me for a minute and let's chat, okay? That's exciting. And I tell you, the life waiting for you is extraordinary. Now, church, keep your heads bowed. I want to ask you guys something. Listen, what I'm about to ask you, this is not to check on your spirituality. This is not to figure out who's mature and who's not mature. This is not a moment to see who's going to stand and who's not. This is a moment between you and God, just you and God. And what I want you to think about right now is if you say, you know what, Mosaic Church is my family, it's my home church, it's where I belong, it's where I want to be, and it's where I want to sweat blood with others to expand God's kingdom. If that's you here today and you say, Renaud, that's not only what I want, but I want to commit to God right now that I will spend myself for this vision, this dream that we have to enter the promised land. If you're here and you're that, then I want you to do what I'm about to ask. But if you're here and you're just either visiting or you've been here for a few weeks and you're still trying to figure things out, you like the church, but you're not sure yet, just don't worry about it. Just chill, relax. This is for the people that between you and God, you make a commitment to say, I'm on board. And the rest of you, you just sit back and relax. I'm not even going to be looking around to see who stands or who doesn't. It's just a matter of a commitment between you and God. But if you're here today and you say, God, I'm ready to give myself over for this, to enter this promised land with this family. I'm ready to surrender my time and my energy, my resources, my finances to watch this happen. I want you to stand up now. Just stand to your feet, just between you and God, just stand up. And don't stand if you're not ready to make that decision. It's okay. Just stand up if you go, I'm ready. I'm ready to say, I'm in, I'm on board. I want to be part of this. And I just want you to stand for a minute and right there as you're standing, just say to God, God, show me what it is we need to start doing, where it is we need to be involved, what it is we need to give financially, how it is we need to play a role in this church to begin to help things move so we can be part of this. And those sitting, ask God now as you sit there, God, if this is the place you want us to be, you want us to commit, you want us to run with, then begin now in our hearts to show us that. And if it's not, then show us that too so we can find the place where we can. Would you all stand together as we close in prayer? Lord God, I am so grateful for what you have done this last year. In fact, for what you've done these last 3 years at Mosaic Church. But I am far more excited about what is to come than I am about what has already come. Because I know, God, that you have a people now like the people in Joshua's time who have learned that you do provide miraculously and wondrously. And they are ready, along with me, to say, God, you lead the way. Wherever you say to go, we will go. Whatever you say to do, we will do. And as you lead us, we will love being part of your journey. God, may you provide for us all that we need to conquer all that is ahead. But may you do it now with us as part of the equation. We love you so much, God. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship together this last song.